Here's the overriding problem with the Bucks as I see it through 5 weeks. And you can't get around it. And I don't care how many times Lee's going to decry it's an overreaction. Did they not have ice cream a la mode at halftime? Maybe we'll have a little red cabbage, a little spetzel. We need to shake things up, and I'm about to do it. You're going to hear about it for 45 minutes on this podcast.
Buccaneers fans, here we are, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, episode 2 this week of the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the Custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. And Ira, you're going to love this. Bill Curry Ford, they've got inventory big time on the lot. You can go and touch it and feel it and drive it. And they're sort of almost, not quite, but they're sort of back to the way the old days are. And inventory is picking up, and it's fantastic. So Ford is taking care of them. And it's a great time to buy a new vehicle at Bill Curry Ford. How about that, Ira? I know you're the kind of guy who likes to go to the showroom and touch a car and get in it.
I got to tell my son, because he's looking for a Ford truck. That's outstanding news, and he'll be in touch with Sean Sullivan very shortly.
They have all the trucks on the lot now at Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan, he's the GM. He's also the host of the Best in Class podcast. It was one of my more favorite episodes this week. I recommend listening to that. It's Sean's take on the Bucks, but mostly it's his look at rookies and young players around the league. And it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, 62 years, a Tampa tradition, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. And they've got their nationwide lifetime warranty on used and new vehicles. Great selection of used vehicles right now. And you can order your vehicle so easy, no deposit required. And Sean's going to give you a $500 gift card just to do it. BillCurryFord.com. Now, Sage, an alert. I have to give an important alert here, as people heard in the last podcast, but just in case you didn't listen to it because you were so upset by what happened in the fourth quarter of that game and lost your mind, Ira will not be at Big Storm Brewing Company on Sunday. Big Storm had a rescheduled event that was canceled because of some hurricane concerns at the time, and we decided to accommodate. So no watch party with the Sage on Sunday at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. However, buy your Big Storm beer and enjoy it all through the game and the weekend of college football. And of course, the tap rooms are open in Odessa and in Cape Coral and in Orlando at the Amway Center. They're still open in Clearwater. They're just having an event there where it's not going to be good for our crowd and loud Bucks game audio and all that fun stuff, Sage. So Big Storm Brewery, we're excited, Ira. I did do some more work on the Germany game breakfast that we're going to be having at Big Storm, and it's going to be one hell of a time. Sage is going to be out there early, and you know what that means, Ira. When you're out at Big Storm Brewery early at the tap room, you're hungry, and that's dangerous for you, Ira.
I'm thinking about that breakfast, that Munich breakfast. Steve, there's going to be a Sage omelet on the menu. I don't know what else they're putting in, but there's going to be some bologna in there. Like, that'll be one of the main ingredients in a Sage omelet. Watch your tater tots, people. Steve's always got some surprises for our patrons. You know, I might buy you a beer. You never know. So I'm looking forward to that, but I will not be at Big Storm for the Pittsburgh game.
For the Germany game breakfast, you got to do it right. You got to squeeze some elbows here. You got to get them to have potato pancakes on the menu. Got to have white sausage, not what we call breakfast sausage. Do the white sausage. It's got some veal in it.
Steve, I got a quick update for our listeners and those that habitually follow us, and there are thousands of them. I got an update, and I haven't told you guys this, but you know, a couple of minutes before the podcast, I went to get my coffee, Dunkin' Donuts, of course, and I placed a call to our former intern, Zach. Zach, the intern, is working with the Giants, the New York Giants, and helping out, and he's going to be there through the season, and he's having a great time. And, of course, the Giants, one of the surprise teams of the NFL, and Zach's doing very well. He might be back for Thanksgiving. We might see him. But, you know, the three of us, so we have a warm place in our heart for Zach. He's done a great job for Joe Bucks fan.
All right, Ira. Oh, yeah. Ira, that was very touching. It wasn't much of a news update that you talked to Zach, but just teasing you, Ira, that's nice. And Zach's a great guy. And let's talk some football, Sage, because we got a football team here. You know, Ira, I'm going to go this route with you since a lot of fans saw this, the Devin White comment about how the team, that football, you know, when it's late in the game and you got a lead, it can get a little boring. Now, that sort of went wild on Twitter, and Devin White's not too happy about it. He thinks it was a spin job, but there was audio out there, and he said what he said. But I wanted to run it at you in this angle, Sage. Will Golston got on the Buccaneers radio network and very calmly said that the defense let up. And he gave an analogy, which was right out of Brooklyn, Sage, for you. So I thought of you. I'll quote it. You know, when you're in a fight and you're just punching, punching and punching, you're not looking up, you're just punching and punching. And when you look up, that little bit of hesitation can cost you a knockout blow. So I think that's what happened against the Falcons. Like, we were just punching and punching and punching, and then we hesitated and took a couple of shots. What's your thought on all this, Ira?
I think the bottom line, Lee, in that case, in that particular game against that particular opponent, they didn't respect Atlanta. They didn't respect the weapons that Atlanta had, which, let's be honest, they're marginal weapons. Their best running back didn't play. Drake London's banged up. They don't have much. Mariota can't throw. Lee, let's throw that in there. And so you add that all up, and they took their foot off the gas. The problem was Devin White articulated it. He said what everybody knew. It's not shocking that they did it once we saw what happened in the game, but it's kind of shocking that Devin White said it. Lee, Devin White's got a habit of talking. He loves that podium. He loves that microphone. Sometimes he can't help himself, and he got in a little bit of trouble. I think that's why he got upset when it was on Twitter. Lee, you can tell your own story. I think he might have got upset again today. But as Isbit said, Lee, he said what he said, and he's got to own it. And he's not the only one that let up, but certainly Devin White can play a little bit better. In the words of Lee DeKemper, stop tackling high. Devin White with a 21-0 lead.
A lot of fans, especially those that, you know, they don't like the media, I say that quote-unquote, and, you know, we fall under that umbrella, of course, they think we always got some kind of axe to grind. But when we ask players questions, we're actually giving them a forum to explain themselves, to tell their side of the story. If they think they've been wronged, we are affording them a very large forum, in some cases, to set the record straight. So I went to Devin White today. I was asking him about that. I said, well, what do you exactly mean by that? At first, he denied he even said it, and I kind of figured he might do that. So I had the video pulled up on my phone, and when he twice denied, I don't remember saying that. And I held up my phone and said, Devin, you're on video saying it. And then he kind of like, well, you know, we just need to come with more juice. Okay, I get it. I sort of understood what he was trying to say. It was just a bad choice of words, I think, more than anything. But there is something to it that maybe they did take their foot off the gas pedal. You know, they're human beings. That will happen. Like you said, Ira, I'm sure they're not respecting or did not respect Atlanta like they would the Steelers. Or they will if they ever play the Chiefs again, or Baltimore down the road, or San Francisco, or what have you. I mean, it's nothing to brag about. I appreciate his candor. And I'm never, never, ever going to complain about a player talking too much. They never talk too much. Let them say what they want and knock yourself out, man. Coach, player, I don't care who it is, talk.
You know, Steve, I think what Ryan Bowles about that game was the lack of a killer instinct, and Bowles talks about it a lot. I talked to Derek Brooks about it this week, Steve, on the identity. He says it's a process, even for a veteran team like this one, it's a process. But Steve, it was in stark contrast, and you guys know this, stark contrast to what happened at the same time, another 1 o'clock kickoff in Buffalo. So the Bills were the home team, as the Bucks were the home team, playing an inferior opponent. And what happened, Steve? It ended up being 38-3. I looked at the halftime stats Steve, Josh Allen had 380 yards passing at the half with four touchdowns. They took him out, and he didn't finish the game. That's smart coaching by McDermott. But, Steve, it still ended up 38-3. So, it never got messy. The Buck game got messy. So I don't like the Bills showing an aspect of maturation that this Buck team has not shown so far.
I'm glad you brought that up because I got to call BS on some of this stuff. I mean, Todd Bowles was throwing his share of spin out there. And I really thought Brooks was throwing his share of spin out there as well in the same sort of way. Talking about how it's still an adjustment. You know, Bowles was saying that, they're figuring out their ways to win and their consistency and they're ironing out some kinks and building character. And Brooks was talking about the adjustment of a new coach and don't discount the fact that they've got a new coach and things take time. Todd Bowles is in his fourth year with this defense. It's largely the same core. If these guys don't know how to close out a game and put their foot on the gas and he doesn't know how to push their buttons, that's a problem. Derek Brooks, I looked it up, Ira, after Brooks said it. That defense in 2002, John Gruden, brand new head coach, same coordinator, same core of players, you get the idea. Yes, they lost opening week, but the next five games, they allowed 29 points total in five games. That's not a team that needed to figure out how to gel on defense because they got a new head coach. So I don't buy any of that. The lack of killer instinct on the Bucs defense there, hopefully it's just a one-game thing, but when you combine it with the run defense, that isn't what it used to be. It looks like a problem.
And Lee, let's not let the offense off the hook on Sunday. They were rolling along, and then all of a sudden, when they went up 21-0 after the opening possessions of the second half, they did absolutely nothing. Three and out. Now, that's putting your defense on the field. I don't care if Atlanta's got a pop gun offense. And every time Devin White's turning around, he's going, grabbing his helmet and going back on the field. So it was a combination of things. I'll blame the defense mostly, Lee. But three straight three and outs, that's not acceptable.
Yeah, it was just a poor game in the second half by the Bucs. And that's all there is to it. The offense has never been smooth all year. That's on Leftwich. He's got to figure that out. The defense, if Devin White would have said, rather than getting bored, if he would have said, we were zapped because we were on the field, that makes all the sense in the world. He couldn't say that because he's not going to call out his teammates on the other side of the ball, especially when one of your other teammates is Tom Brady. He's not going to do that. But honestly, I think that's what Devin White meant. He just chose poor words. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. But, Ira, I like the analogy made between the Bucks and the Bills. And I could sum it up in two sentences. The Bills are hungry. The Bucks already had their meal. That meal is the Lombardi Trophy.
That's not bad, Lee. I mean, the Bills are hungry. You can see it. And I think you're going to see it in Kansas City on Sunday. That's a hell of a matchup, Steve. I think Buffalo's going to win. We shall see. Steve, here's the overriding problem with the Bucs as I see it through 5 weeks. And you can't get around it. And I don't care how many times Lee's going to decry it's an overreaction. Steve, they stink at running the ball, Steve, since week one. What the hell is going on here? 3.1 yards a carry? And that includes the first week against Dallas when it was like 5 yards a carry? And now it's 3.1? Marpet's not there, Steve. Jensen's not there. And maybe most importantly, Gronkowski's not there. But, gosh, Lee, you got to do better than 3.1. The league average is 4.5.
Well, our good friend Sean Sullivan, it's a pet peeve of his. If you notice, Ira, Leftwich really likes to run playoff lane to the left side. What do you got on the left side outside of Donovan Smith? You got a rookie, and you got a guy who's started 5 games now. On the right side, he always runs Rashad White. Who you got on the right side? A grizzled veteran in Shaq Mason and the game's best right tackle. Why the hell aren't you running playoff Lenny to the right?
Don't get me started with some of those calls, Lee, because, Steve, you know what's coming. And yes, know what's coming. You want somebody to run the ball? You want to convert a third down on the ground? Give the ball to Tom Brady. That's how you do it, Steve. How do you like that? How do you like that, Isbitz? Give the ball to number 12.
Hey, fourth down, too. Yeah, and he's not sneaking, and we're going to get into that, Ira. Part of it's his choice, as was revealed by Rashad White on the radio 2 weeks ago when he said Brady, that was the call, and then he decided to hand off to White when he scored his first touchdown against the Chiefs. But I want to ask you a Brady question, Ira, before we get too far. I get excited when I hear some of these things, and I don't know if we'll call it a conspiracy theory. We'll just call it a hidden meeting. And when we need to know hidden meeting, Ira, we turn to the sage. So today in his news conference, Brady was asked a ridiculous question about pickleball and who would be a good pickleball player for the Bucks. Now, here's the...
You can't make it up.
No, you can't make this stuff up. But it was actually led to a serious thought. And because I don't care about the pickleball part of it, but yeah, he said Mike Evans, good pickleball player. Okay. And then he paused. He was thinking some more and he said Gronk would be, but he's not in the locker room now. Now, why is Gronk on Brady's mind when he's asked about who would be a good player on the team right now? I thought that was very interesting that Gronk pops into Brady's mind in the middle of October when he should be an afterthought, when they're knee deep in the season and he's spending every moment with these players. What do you think that means? Maybe Gronk's on Brady's brain or maybe something's going on behind the scenes?
Mr. Isbitz, let us not be naive. I'm a little shocked you even posed this question. Lee, am I missing something to say that Brady thinks about Rob Gronkowski every freaking day? Every day. He's thinking about him, and he's talking to him three times a week. I'll throw that out there. They can't run the ball. Their red zone percentage is mediocre. The offense is up in 21 points, Lee. Last year it was 30. That's a shocking drop. You can talk about Julio Jones's bum knee all you want. That is a shocking drop from 30 to 20. And in Brady's mind, Gronkowski can make up a lot of that difference. And I'm not sure he's wrong about it. So, yeah, Lee, he thinks about the guy every day.
I'm exactly on the same platform as Steve is here. When he brought Gronk's name up, my antenna immediately went up. And then he's like, well, he's not on the team. I'm like, he's either trying to get Gronk back, and we know he is, or that was a troll job.
It was something I just had to ask you about it. And to complete the thought, Brady on his podcast this week had Aaron Judge as an interview. And he said to Aaron Judge, hey, I've seen you. I really would love to have you down here in Tampa next year. We could use your hands and this and that. Why is Brady talking about next year in Tampa? I understand it was in jest. It wasn't done as a super laugher. Why is he even thinking about next year in Tampa if he knows he's gone for sure?
Well, there is an undercurrent, an undercurrent of thought, and maybe even Lisa on board with this pending divorce, which looks like, it's a legitimate story, that this pending divorce will make it much more likely that Brady will play football in 2023. And if he does, it's likely to be with the Bucks, not automatically, Lee, not guaranteed. He's not under contract. And so, what I said 2 months ago, that clearly this is Brady's last year in Tampa, I still believe it, because I think at some point the Bucks got to get on with their business. And if they don't have a very good year this year, there's no reason to think they're going to have a very good year next year. And I think they got to move on at some point. But Lee, do you agree that this Giselle fracture makes it more likely that Brady's going to keep playing football?
I don't know if you want to call it a fracture. I don't want to call it a clean cut, whatever. But, I hate to see a guy get divorced. But if that actually does happen, I think that obviously, he doesn't have to worry about his wife nagging at him to stay home. So obviously that raises the chances. But I don't know. It's one thing this guy was Peyton Manning in his last year with the Broncos. This guy's still one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Get on with business, Ira. You ride the wheels fall off.
Lee, I said if they don't have a very good season. If they don't have a very good season.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's likely if they don't have a good season, he's gone. But I don't think the Bucs should automatically close the door if they have a bad season. I mean, my gosh, if Matt Rhule had a quarterback, he'd still be working. There are teams out there that are just crying bloody murder for a quarterback, and the Bucs have the greatest one ever. I'm like, we move on. We gotta turn the page. Huh? No, Ira. No.
What you're not hearing is that if they're a first-round flameout in the playoffs, I think you got to move on.
No, this is worse than saying move on from Slavka. This is the greatest quarterback that ever lived, and he's still bringing the ball? No. Why? Ira, do you need help? I don't know of a counselor, but I think you need counseling. Ira.
If he's not playing well by the end of the season, I think you got to move on.
If he's not playing well, but my gosh, what's he leading the NFC right now?
He's playing well right now. He's playing well.
What's Raheem's famous line? I'll tolerate you until I can replace you. I can tolerate Tom Brady a hell of a long time, man.
Belichick moved on. He did.
Yeah, that was a real smart move, wasn't it?
He moved on.
You're not making any points there. You're digging your own grave. Yeah, he moved on. What did Brady do? Only won a Super Bowl with a team in a pandemic. There are owners that would sacrifice their oldest son to get a quarterback. Here the Bucks have one. You're like, move on. No!
Lee, what you're saying is under no circumstances, would you want to move on from Brady?
As I said earlier, it's not like we're talking about Peyton Manning in his last year of the Broncos. If Brady sucks, and sooner or later at some point, 50, 55 years old, he'll probably start sucking. Ride this train till the wheels fall off, which is what Peyton Manning was with the last year of the Broncos. His wheels fell.
He could be hurt. He could be ineffective in January. He could be.
Well, I could win the lottery tonight, too.
Well, Lee, there has to be a future beyond Tom Brady. There has to be.
Then let's let Tom Brady make that decision. Let's not be stupid and run the guy off.
They go 9-8. You're going to have to refigure and recalculate.
Do you prefer Kyle Trask over Tom Brady starting next year?
You know how I feel about Kyle Trask.
Well, there you go. You don't get rid of Brady. If he sucks, then yeah, I could see that.
He doesn't have to suck. All he has to do is be average. If he's average, I'm moving on. Don't lock me into Kyle Trask.
In your words, I hope they put this on your gravestone because it's one of the greatest quotes in the history of mankind. The Bucks without Tom Brady were, quote, peering into the abyss. That's what we're looking at.
We're going to move on, Steve, but I just want to reiterate. I can see a scenario where it might make sense to think about moving on from Tom Brady. We're not there yet, and I hope we're not. But, Steve, I can see it.
I don't think it's possible because, one, there's too much money for the Glazers and Tom Brady. Number two, the locker room would look at everybody, would look around and say, what the hell did Jason Light, Todd Bowles, and the Glazers do here? They would never believe that if Tom Brady isn't the, you know, even if he doesn't have the strongest finish and looks vulnerable, they're never going to believe that he's totally washed up. It's just a nightmare scenario if he still wants to play. But we'll leave it alone, Sage. I will say, though, you asked Lee about the divorce situation, the breakup of his marriage and all that. I frankly think it makes it more likely that he plays for the Dolphins next year. Giselle's going to have custody of the kids, and if she stays in the United States, which I assume they'll work out, she'll want to be in Miami, which is apparently where she's always wanted to be. So between what's happened with Tua and Teddy Bridgewater getting another concussion and clearly not going to be an answer for them, I think it's setting up beautifully for Brady to be in Miami next year, unfortunately, as it relates to the Bucks. But nobody really knows how he feels, but I think that's how it's setting up if he decides to play. But Sage, we got a game on Sunday. Chris Godwin, I know it really hasn't been asked yet of Godwin, but I look at Chris Godwin and I see a guy who looks healthy to me. And Todd Bowles talked about, well, you know, we want to limit his snaps a little bit. He played a little less in the second half after being incredibly effective. And he's been very effective all year. Early on, you said you felt he lost a little bit of explosiveness. I agreed with you maybe 65%. I'm not sure I really fully agree with that now. We haven't seen him out on a lot of all-out go routes, but we've seen him 20, 25, 30 yards down the field. What do you think of his prospects going forward. And do you think they're going to, you know, let him out here soon?
I give Godwin a lot of credit. Lee, he's out there. Maybe somebody else wouldn't, because I don't think he's 100%. But he's cleared by the doctors, and Bowles is playing him, as he should. He's averaging less than 10 yards a catch, and that's not Chris Godwin. Now, I don't expect 18 yards, because he's never done that, and very few guys do. But, Lee, I don't see the over 20-yard receptions from Godwin, of which he's been very good in years past. I'm seeing short flips. That's fine, Lee, for the time being. And I assume that will change as time goes on this season. So I'm not overly concerned about Godwin. But at the moment, Lee, if you ask me, has he lost a step right now? I would say he's not 100%.
The injury report today, it sure didn't look like he's 100%, because he's got three different ailments. But, you know, he's a tough guy. Obviously, he's a tough guy. So he'll fight his way through it. It's interesting that, you know, Godwin's average isn't that great. And at least entering the Falcons game, Russell Gage had never run a deep route. He's one of only three receivers who hasn't run a deep route in the NFL. Right. So it's
he's also under 10 yards a catch,
which makes sense since he hasn't run a deep route. So basically, they're giving him $30 million to be a possession receiver. And Evans is just, you know, we've spoke about it many times. He's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. But he's not really what you would call a deep threat like Antonio Brown was, you know. So it's really interesting that this is more of a possession game, especially the way they're throwing the playoff Lenny in the flat. You know, Leftwich's offense, which was Arian's offense, was very much downfield. And it's not that way this year, and I'm not sure why.
Hey, Sage, on the injury note, you know, there's a lot of talk about the Bucs receivers, and we've talked about Julio on the podcast and the stable of receivers and all that. Odell Beckham, I know Lee's on the Odell Beckham bandwagon. I said on the podcast last week, I don't think he'll be here, and I really don't want him here because I don't think he's that good. But I bring it up this for this reason. When he was with the Giants, five seasons, three of them he had injury issues. He went to the Browns, one out of 2 years, injury issues. Last year, got hurt, blew his knee out. It was in the Super Bowl, but he relatively healthy before that. So he's coming in as another guy with a history of injury. Does that scare you that here he is coming off a major injury? Godwin himself is slow coming back. And, you know, by the time Beckham might become himself, it could be too late.
I don't totally disagree with you, Steve. I don't. Or as much as I'd love to, is bitch. just out of principle. Look, I think Godwin's going to get better every week, you know, and maybe by December, he's back full speed, you know, catching 19-yard slants instead of 8 yards over the middle. Gage will be healthy. Perryman is healthy right now. And who the heck knows about Julio Jones? I'm not sure the Bucs know. You know, I don't think this is a five-alarm fire for OBJ, Lee. I know he helped the Rams a little bit, but Lee, wouldn't he have been picked up by now by teams that are even in worse shape than the Bucs?
Well, there's not too many teams in worse shape than the Bucs at wide receiver, although the Packers fans think they are. And no, he's playing it smart. He's shopping himself. You know, he said he probably won't be ready till mid-November. It's just now mid-October, so it's about the right timeline. You know, I'm not saying OBJ is going to be this catharsis. He's going to be the answer to all the Bucs' problems. But if you look at his, you know, the last couple of years, he's played a hell of a lot more than Julio Jones. We all know what Bill Parcells used to say, your best ability is your availability. He's played more than Julio Jones. And outside of OBJ, what's out there? Nobody, unless you're going to make a trade. The Bucs have 2 weeks to two and a half weeks to decide about that. He won't cost you a draft pick, by the way. He'll just cost you money. So that's why I'm big on Julio Jones. I'm not impressed with Russell Gage. It's nice. He's a nice guy. Seems like an okay receiver. When I saw him in training camp, I thought, holy smokes, this guy's going to light things up. And it just hasn't been that way. He's been hurt damn near since OTAs. So I don't know if I'm getting – expect him to be healthy in November if he's been hurt since freaking April and May. And so I don't think the Bucs are all that deep. And then we're looking at what we looked at against the Packers, which is what we looked at against the Rams in the playoffs last year. We're looking at Scotty Miller and Jalen Darden.
Well, you didn't have Godwin, Lee.
But I'm also factoring in, we're looking at a number three receiver or number four receiver.
I'm not sure Beckham's a significant upgrade on Perryman in this offense. I'm not.
Well, Perryman's another guy that who knows? I mean, he's been hurt more than healthy this year. I don't know if he's healthy right now, but if he is, it's like, okay, when's he going to get hurt again? You know, set your watch.
I believe he's practicing this week.
Allegedly, DJ Moore is available for a trade. It's almost worth overpaying for that guy if you can. He answers the bell. That's the way I'm looking at it. Is OBJ an upgrade over Scotty Miller? Is he an upgrade over Jalen Darden? I would say yes.
But there's a lot of ways to look at it. It's interesting because you take the Giants and the Cowboys right now, both 4-1. The Bucs are better at receiver than both of those teams right now with Mike Evans and Godwin and the other guys. They're better than those teams. And I would have to ask both of you right now, the other 4-1 team, the Vikings, they've got Sage, Justin Jefferson, and Adam Thielen. Would you rather have Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, who's also not a bit, is more of a possession type receiver, short, you know, less yards per catch? Would you rather have Jefferson and Thielen or Evans and Godwin?
Evans and Godwin.
Well, then we've got better receivers than the three teams that are 4-1. So I don't think we're in bad shape, is really what I'm saying.
At 1-2, what about the, you know, 3-down?
They don't have much there either. I mean, that the number three receiver.
Those guys are healthy, though, aren't they?
Those teams would be like, oh, I'd like to have one of the Bucs' 3, 4, and 5 receivers. I mean, I'm just saying they don't have that trifecta of quality.
Who do you think of right now when you think of their Bucs number three receiver? The guys that are on the field.
I like Gage. I mean, he's got a lot of catches so far. I don't know if some of his limitations are tied to what the play calls are. I don't think he would have chosen not to run a deep route. And I don't know. I can't fault the guy for 23 catches. You know, he's on pace for, 70 catches and stuff. And I think he might even do better when he's a little healthier.
Bingo. That's why he hasn't run a deep route. He's been on the injury report every week. And that's why, you know, he's not 100%. That's why he hasn't run a deep route. Didn't he have a hamstring? Why he couldn't run a deep route. They have a guy with a bad hamstring running the deep route. What's going to happen? Boink. There goes the hamstring.
Steve, another 4-1 team that doesn't have as good receivers as the Bucs is Kansas City. They don't have a number one receiver. Now, they got Kelsey. They do have Kelsey, who's great. But as far as the wideouts, they don't have a number one. They got a bunch of number twos. They don't have anybody even close to Mike Evans. Not even close.
This is great fun, Sage. We're dissecting. We're going deep. We're clashing opinions. It's fantastic. It's what Bucs fans are doing nonstop in their homes and in bars and at work. And we're doing it here. And you know what? What doesn't escape me is that we should be 4-1. That Packers loss really gets to me. I still can't shake it. We could have beaten them. We should have beaten them. And I will say that was a game where Russell Gage was called on to be the number one receiver. A lot of time, number one receivers get shut out. Gage caught 12 balls, I think, and was banged up, fought through it. Yeah, he had a fumble, but he certainly produced in the game, caught a touchdown. And to me, it said a lot because, again, a lot of guys get shut down when they're called on to be the number one guy and they're not a true number one. So, anyway, Ira, we're going to forge ahead, hopefully get healthy at receiver, and we have even more important things to discuss, Ira, and we certainly want to let everybody know that we think it's important that you consider Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. If you have a disaster in your home, storm damage, fire, flood, mold, they are licensed mold remediation specialists. You call them 24/7, you go to floridaselite-restoration.com. They will come out and give you that free, honest assessment that you need in your time of disaster. Free, honest assessment from Florida's Elite Restoration. At that point, before you move forward with them and use their services, let them know you heard about it from Ira Kaufman, JoeBucksFan.com. They're going to give you a $500 discount. Maybe that's money you use toward your insurance deductible, or maybe that's just cash back on a restoration of something in your home. Florida's Elite Restoration.com owner Josh Martin spent 14 years as an insurance adjuster. He knows all the nonsense that goes on, all the corruption. He's going to protect you, work hard to make sure you don't get ripped off and you get made whole in your property for whatever needs to be done and to make sure it's fair. Florida's Elite Restoration. Call them first before your insurance company. Get them out there for that free assessment immediately and then proceed knowing that you had capable, confident, honest people assessing your disaster. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com. Ira, what's that website?
Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
All right, Sage, what the readers don't know is that I just changed a battery on the recorder here, and you and Lee started fist fighting over the Tom Brady launching him from the team. You guys are going to have to get gloves on next time.
I want to make it clear that if the Bucs have a good season and Brady finishes strong, I'm in no mood to make a change. None.
All right. I'm not. The clarity is there. 9-8. Brady's okay. Ira's kicking him to the curb. All right, Sage, you know, and because you brought this up, I wasn't even going to bring this up, but you went there a little bit here with the craziness about Brady. So I have to bring up what I wrote about Kyle Trask today. I made the simple point, Ira, that this is shaping up as a good year for Kyle Trask. We don't get to see the guy play or practice, so we have to try to assess what his year looks like with him doing nothing and never wearing a uniform. And I look around, I see Cooper Rush having a great year, undrafted, you know, opening people's eyes as to a guy who was cut earlier this year and who's been with Dallas on and off for 4 years. Bailey Zappe comes in, he plays well, fourth round pick, rookie. And you got the quarterbacks in New York that are doing well, and the town is exploding, and these guys are young guys. Who, now, you know how the NFL is. You were just talking to Arthur Blank the other day. If the trend is young quarterbacks are getting it done and guys without a ton of experience, well, that's good for Trask and his future, and maybe the Glazers saying, well, if Tom Brady retires, you know, these other teams are doing pretty well with quarterbacks. It's not Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson. They flopped. You know, maybe we go with Kyle. Isn't that how it works?
To an extent, Steve. I mean, sometimes it is the situation. Lee, I'll give you an example. Lee, there's a quarterback, one guy this year, one, who is completing 75% of his throws. Who is that?
I'm going to guess Zappe.
Geno Smith.
And I think we're all in agreement going into this season, Geno Smith, I would say the word pedestrian might be kind. He had done nothing in the National Football League. Nothing. There he is in Seattle. He's got a couple of good receivers, average offensive line, average running backs. And you can't blame Geno Smith for the problems of the Seahawks. You know, their defense has gone south. They lost a couple of tough games. Geno Smith's doing it up. Maybe Pete Carroll and his crew know what they're doing in terms of grooming quarterbacks. So, Steve, sometimes it's the scheme. Sometimes it's the coaching. But for you to say that we haven't seen anything out of Kyle Trask and we think that's great for his development, I don't know if I'm going there, Steve.
All right, Sage. I just had to throw it out there. I mean, people love Kyle Trask. They like to know what's going on, and nobody ever talks about him too much, although they did today. Lee, what did Leftwich have to say about Kyle Trask?
Left, which was, I, you know, they were talking about rookie quarterbacks. He was asked about rookie quarterbacks and thing, Left, which was saying how difficult it is for your first start, because it was difficult for Tom Brady. It was difficult for Blaine Gabbert. It was difficult for Kyle Trask. I'm like, when did Kyle Trask start?
No, I know.
I got your article about Kyle Trask, Steve. I got to be honest with you. I'm reading this at the media room at the Bucks, waiting for Leftwich to show up. I finished the third paragraph. My head was spinning. I don't think I've ever read a story from Steve where my head was spinning. That had my head spinning. I'm like, wait a minute, because Bailey Zappi's playing well, that means Kyle Trask is going to play well when he finally wears a uniform in 2025. What?
Well,
and it's like the first thing I thought of after that was, man, Nesmith's shoulders must be hurting the way he's reaching. And the second thing I thought of, the Bucks cheerleaders can't come up with a dance routine like Nesmith just put out.
He just wants to be hopeful.
No. I never said that he was going to play well. I was writing about his prospects of getting a chance. Not that he would play well, but his prospects of getting an opportunity to even get a look.
Steve, speaking about the offensive coordinator, Steven, it is that time in this lively podcast for you to read the question by Mr. DeKemper and the answer by Mr. Leftwich about why, to this point, we have not seen the use of Tom Brady on a quarterback sneak on third or fourth and inches. Steve, would you indulge me here?
Absolutely, Ira. Absolutely. Absolutely. And as I pull it up here, I'll remind everybody you can shop right now at BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. I look at the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Study all the details of it. It's not just a word. You can actually know what's going on there. And there you go. BillCurryFord.com. So Lee asks Byron Leftwich if Brady doesn't want to run quarterback sneaks, you know, because we haven't seen him do it. And we saw that ugly fourth and one run by Leonard Fournette where Mike Allstott must have been throwing things at his television set, launching Big Storm beers, when not only did Fournette have a crease right behind, I believe it was Gedeke, in between Gedeke and Hainsey, but he could have just gone over the top. Nobody goes over the top anymore, and Fournette looks like the perfect guy to just power over the top. Anyway, so Lee asked him, and Leftwich said, "That really had nothing to do with Tom. That has something to do with how we feel and what we think we need to do moving forward in those situations." I don't know what that means, Ira.
Lee, I will use the old adage, the truth will prevail. The truth will prevail. Well, you know what, DeKemper? I'm still waiting. I've looked at that answer nine times, and nine times I'm perplexed. It depends on the situation. No, it doesn't. It depends on the opponent. No, it doesn't. It depends on how much time is left. No, it doesn't. You know what it depends on? Giving the ball to Brady with his fantastic record of success. I'm going to get those damn numbers sooner or later. I'm going to get them. And when I get them, you're going to hear about it for 45 minutes on this podcast. Now, Lee, here's my answer. And here's the escape clause that he doesn't want to take. Maybe they're worried about Brady getting hurt or Brady doesn't want to do it. He's not comfortable anymore doing it at the age of 45. Lee, just say it. Just say it. Don't give me this nonsense about how it's a situational thing. Lee, you either go with your best play or you don't. I want some truth over here, DeKemper.
Maybe, you know, Leftwich doesn't want to say that, and then you're tipping off the defense. Like, well, we don't worry about Brady sneaking the ball anymore.
Is he that diabolical? Is he that analytical? Steve, you got to make
that analytical. I'm just saying, if Leftwich would come out of the press conference like, nope, we're not running Brady on a sneak anymore. He doesn't want to get hurt. We don't want him to get hurt. So we're eliminating that play. Well, of course, it's going to help the defense out because that's one less play they got to worry about in a crucial situation. So if that's why he isn't saying that, I don't know if that's the case, but if that's why, I can understand. You don't want to broadcast their defense. We're not going to run this. Don't worry about it.
Steve, are you really worried about the quarterback getting hurt on a fourth and inches? I mean,
I don't know. The whole thing is wacky. If Leftwich is honest, I don't think if he was honest and said what Lee just suggested, I don't think any defensive coordinators would really believe him. You know, because that's just how the NFL is. But it's obvious they don't want to run it. There have been opportunities that have been tailor-made. From what I understand that Brady has said previously, or I believe Ryan Jensen said it once before, Brady has a call. He has an alert that he just gives a signal and they know that it's a sneak and Brady reads the defense. If it's there, he takes it. But for some reason, he's not wanting to take it. Maybe teams are getting a little wiser to it. I can't say I've looked at the tape and said, oh, he 100% had a sneak there, but right. He probably doesn't want to get hurt and I can't blame him. They should be able to hand it to a running back and get a freak in half a yard.
Yeah. I agree with you, Steve. I think there was enough of a crease there, Lee, to get that yard, and they didn't get it.
Well, at least he didn't go in the shotgun.
Yeah, that's another thing that drives me nuts.
Leonard Fournette, Irie, I know you like these weird numbers. He ranks 35th in the league in first down runs this season. with 11 runs for first down. That's 35th in the NFL. It's got to be higher than that. I'm sure he'll get that number up, but strange number.
Lee, I don't understand how a guy can have such an efficient, effective game against a good Dallas defense, Lee. Good Dallas defense. And that defense is carrying the Cowboys right now. They haven't lost since that opener. And then, you know, and I know Fournette, I know Bowles went crazy about how well Fournette played. What was it, the New Orleans game or the Green Bay game? I can't remember when he had about 40 yards on the ground. Bowles couldn't stop himself from the effusive praise about Leonard Fournette. Lee, I'd like my running back to run the football. And if he doesn't run the football well, he didn't have a good game. You know what I'm saying, Lee? If
I feature him. Yep.
What is going on with Fournette since the opener? I don't understand, Lee.
With the run game, he's gone downhill. He's fantastic with the pass game. I don't know if his hamstring is really bothering him that much that he can't move. Or, by the way, I was going through Next Gen stats this morning, and you know they have a stat in there like fastest running backs. No Bucks running backs in there at all. It'd be nice to see a little bit of speed once in a while.
Steve, I think, you know, the Marpet and the Gronkowski absence and the Jensen absence, I think it is showing up, Steve, on the running attack and the lack thereof. I got no other way to explain it, Steve.
I agree with you, Ira. I also got to put some of it on left, which you got to scheme better. You got to find what does work and get to it. And hopefully we see some of that against Pittsburgh, where they should have a lead, and hopefully this time they can close the game out by running the football, that's when you want to run the football, winging around and then kill the clock and hammer out, eight carries on a game-closing drive. That's the way we want to see the Bucs run the ball. We're going to switch to the Steelers game in a minute here, Sage, but I had to run this past you. Matt Rhule fired in Carolina. Fired. So they're giving it to Steve Wilks. And now, of course, they've got the rumor mill is swirling as to who the next potential coach will be there. It's only week 5. The David Tepper, the billionaire head dude there, has got all kinds of time to start looking at coaches. And Sage, I just got to ask you this because I don't really understand. It's just me. I don't really understand the movement to, you can't interview coaches until the season's over and all that stuff. A lot of people think that right now, David Tepper shouldn't be allowed to talk to any potential coaches until the NFL season is over. And I don't really get that. I don't understand it. But how do you see this process, whether you think Leftwich is a potential candidate, and what direction do you think they'll go?
Well, I'll say one thing right up front. Good luck, Mr. Tepper, trying to convince Sean Payton to go to Charlotte. But good luck with that. That ain't happening unless they draft a hell of a quarterback prospect. And that's not till April. So I don't think there's any way Peyton's taking that job, Lee, because if Peyton declares himself a candidate, he's going to have 7 places to pick from. And he ain't going to Charlotte. So that's number one. Tepper is a shaker and mover, Lee. You and I have said that. Rhule didn't have much of a chance. And Lee, the one other thing I can say for certain, absolutely for certainly, Steve Wilks ain't getting that job.
Yeah, Sage, we chatted about it before the podcast. It reminded you a lot of what Arthur Blank said when Raheem Morris took over for Dan Quinn. He quipped something like, he's got to go 11-1 and good chance he'll get the job kind of thing, as if to say he's got to be perfect and we know he won't be.
Steve, so Tepper's asked about Steve Wilks, Steve, and he says a very similar thing. If he's fantastic, he's got a chance. I mean, Steve, that tells you all you need to know. He's interim, and he's going to be interim, and they'll have a new coach next year. Maybe it'll be a college guy. We'll see. That didn't work out too well with Rhule. Rhule was hanging by a thread, Steve, on opening day, and they're not a very good team. Their defense is decent. Their offense is non-existent, and they got to figure out their quarterback situation. We shall see. All I know is I'm glad they're in the Bucs division because that should be 2 easy wins.
To Steve's original point about interviewing coaches, let's not be naive here. Do we really, really believe David Tepper hasn't reached out to anyone yet?
No.
Come on. I mean, if you believe that, I've got swampland in Arizona for sale. Good price, too.
You know, if I'm Leftwich, Steve, if you're offered a job and you know, you're offered money and that head coach job, it's tough to turn down, Steve. Are you going to pick your spots at Leftwich? Hey, I got nine teams after me. Or are you going to take the first job that you get offered? There seems to be some question whether he was offered a job last year and turned it down in Jacksonville. We don't know that for sure. I'll tell you this, Steve. If he goes to Charlotte, depending on what happens in the offseason, he'll be lucky to win 7 games next year.
So much of this comes down to money, which is why I disagree with you. If Tepper goes to Sean Payton and says, I will make you the highest paid head coach in the NFL and give you full authority, are you ready to sign? That's very difficult to turn down. Sean Payton may be willing to wait a year, have a year where, okay, we're going to struggle a little bit while I get this going. I don't think he's out of Charlotte by any stretch, especially I think the division would appeal to him, and they do have some talented young players there to build around.
I think Payton wants to go to a place where he feels he can win, Lee. He's not hard up for money. And if Tepper gives him $12 million, somebody else will give him $11 million. I don't think Payton will go to Charlotte.
I don't know, Sage. Money talks. Tom Brady's not hard up for money either, but he wants to travel 25 days, weekends a year for Fox when he could be cruising the islands on fancy yachts and having those hot tub parties you used to have back in the 70s, Ira.
So let's talk Steelers over here, Stevie.
All right, Ira, we got a football game, and we all were correct last week, picking a Bucs victory. That was Lee's first. That was my second. That was your third, Ira. So you are showing your sage genius with a 3-2 record in the picks. I'll just throw it out there, Ira. Look, the Steelers have not been blown out this year until the last week. I think that's a bit of an aberration from the team that they actually are, but they've got a rookie quarterback and they've got some issues. So I don't think this is going to be easy for the Bucs in any way. It's Tom Brady, which means it's going to be a sold out crowd and they're crazy up there. And the defense is probably going to cause some challenges for this Bucs offense that hasn't really gotten off yet. So I'm going to say Bucs win 28-17, but you know, a hard-fought kind of game, similar to what we saw with Atlanta, where the Bucs got out to a lead but struggled.
You know, if T.J. Watt was playing, Lee, and lining up and getting in Brady's face, I might even be tempted to even think about an upset, but T.J. Watt's not getting dressed, and that takes a lot of their defense is diminished because of that. Pickett will hurt the Bucs on the ground. I believe they had 310 yards passing in Buffalo. Not bad. Mm. But the Bucs will do enough, but I'm kind of with Steve. I don't see the Bucs playing well enough right now to blow a team out. So I can see 24-14, Lee, something like that. But I cannot go with the Steelers, even with my respect for Tomlin. It just looks like he's going to have his first losing season. 24-14 visitors.
I sort of agree with what you guys are discussing. You know, I asked a couple players this week, and I guess, you know, let's face it, I'm older than these guys. And I asked a couple players, are the Steelers like a wounded lion? And my definition of a wounded lion is that's not an animal you want to mess with. They're dangerous, they're vicious, they're angry. You know, it's easy to forget this was a playoff team last year. And they have good players. They have good wide receivers. It's the Steelers. It's not the Falcons. That's not some other dog manure franchise. So I'm thinking 24-21 Bucks. Yeah, T.J. Watt's going to be a big deal for the Bucks. It's going to be a big deal. He's not there. And I know I said this on your previous podcast, Ira. I know this might shock you. Not everybody listens to every one of your podcasts. But I'm just going to throw this out there, because this will get people fired up, because it gets me fired up thinking about it. The infamous O.J. Howard draft. Now, everybody says, you could have had Dalvin Cook. I agree. They could have had Dalvin Cook. They needed Dalvin Cook. They needed a running back. They didn't need a tight end. That's when Cam Brate was at his best. It was just a foolish pick. before, it's even more foolish now. But there's another player the Bucks could use at that very same time at a very, very important position. They could have drafted instead of O.J. Howard. He was on the board. His name, T.J. Watt. There's no way to put it. As much as I love Dirk Cutter, there's no way to put it other than this. That was a dumbass pick.
It was. And, Steve, without Aaron Donald in this league, I don't think it's a stretch, Steve, to think T.J. Watt would be considered the best lineman slash linebacker in the league. I mean, he's that good, Steve. He's that good. I just think it took the heart out of the Steelers when he went down. They don't have much of an offense. Their running back's not doing much. Their receivers are okay. So, Steve, the Bucs should win this game. Looking ahead, they should win in Charlotte. And I think they'll be 5-2 when the Ravens roll in.
Real quick, Ira, and I'll give the guy credit because he did the dirty work to dig up this information, because I was going to do it otherwise, but Joey Knight did it. Todd Bowles against a rookie quarterback, I think, is 16-1. And guess who that rookie quarterback was?
Wait a minute. 16-1 against the rookie quarterback. Was the loss when he was with the Bucks?
Yep.
Oh, baby. Jeez.
One of the more frustrating losses you'll ever see.
Wait a minute.
Ira's going to turn 93 by the time he answers this question.
All right. What do you got, Lee? What do you got?
Daniel Jones. You remember that game?
Oh.
They had insurmountable, at least we thought, an insurmountable lead at halftime, and they wound up losing how? A friggin' kicker.
Hey, Ira, do you remember why that game was so famous in the history of the Buccaneers' lost decade?
Did they not have ice cream a la mode at halftime?
No, it's when Bruce Arians took a delay of game penalty to back up Matt Gay so he could miss a field goal.
Oh, jeez, I remember that, Steve.
Talking his way out of that one. One day, I got to remember, next time I see Arians, to ask him about that. That's just an instant classic.
So,
all right, so we all got the Bucks. So the Sage's lead will continue to next week no matter what. To clarify for the folks who are curious, T.J. Watt was the 30th pick of the first round that year by the Steelers. And the Bucks, as Lee said, were at 17. Dalvin Cook, of course, dropped down way down into the middle of the second round. And that's the wildness of the draft. I got to ask you about two other games, Sage, before we get out of here. And, of course, I'll thank all the folks who we heard from before. Big Storm Brewery, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast is Big Storm Beer. Grab a Bromosa, their Tangerine IPA, the top seller. And remember, Florida's Elite Restoration, as you heard, that's your first phone call. Sage, what's the website there?
Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
That's where you go as soon as you have a disaster in your home. They're going to respond immediately and come out, give you that free assessment, and you can get that Ira Kaufman discount that we broke down, $500. Just let them know if you end up needing their service after that free assessment, then you're going to get your discount, which you can use toward your deductible, or, of course, just get as cash back if you're paying for some restoration or a repair. And Bill Curry Ford, everybody knows Bill Curry Ford. That's where you shop first. BillCurryFord.com. All right, Sage, two critical games here that we have to bring up because they are tied to the Bucs. So I got to get your opinion real quick on these games, Ira. And I will note, just for the gamblers out there, the Falcons are the only team perfect against the spread this year, only 5-0 team against the spread. They are hosting the 49ers, and they're going to be an angry club coming home, 2-3. They believe in themselves, Ira. They believe they got screwed. You know how these teams operate. Two big running football teams. Who wins that game, which is a critical game in the NFC playoff race?
Isbits, we need to shake things up, and I'm about to do it, Isbits. Not only will the Falcons lose this game, they will get shut out. They will score 0.
Whoa!
The Niner defense is that good, and Atlanta's offense, as Buck fans saw for 45 minutes, is pretty abysmal. Considering these injuries, Mariota will be running for his life. I think the Falcons will be hard-pressed to get on the scoreboard, Lee.
Interesting, Sage. Interesting. And this sort of plays to why the Falcons are probably undefeated against the spread, because everybody thinks they're going to get blown out every week. But all right. And the other game, Sage, also at 1 o'clock, just like this one, just like the Bucs game in Pittsburgh. This is a very interesting one, Sage. Saints hosting the Bengals. Andy Dalton going against his old team probably is the way it looks with the way they're practicing. Saints rolled up a ton of points last week. They've been very healthy offensively without Jameis. And the Bengals are the Bengals, playing well now. But both teams are hurting in the record column. Bengals at Saints.
I thought the Bengals played pretty well, Lee, and lost a tough one against Baltimore on the final drive. And Justin Tucker just doesn't miss. The Saints are in a little bit of disarray. They did score a lot of points, but I don't think Winston's playing this week. Dalton's playing. They got Taysom Hill. You know, Lee, we like to make fun of Taysom Hill. Lee's an effective football player.
Yeah. Effective.
They call him a tight end. Lee's got a knack. He's got a knack, Lee. We don't want him under center.
Don't you usually have operations for a knack? You kind of get it removed?
Lee, he's listed at tight end, and he's
I don't give a damn what he's listed in my book as a stiff.
All right, well, Steve Michael Thomas is banged up. My man Chris Olave, who I have in my fantasy league, and he's doing very well for me as a rookie find, based on DeKemper telling me all offseason this kid's going to be great. So I grit, and he got a concussion last week.
So I
don't know if he's playing. He's in the protocol. I don't even know whether to play him in fantasy. I don't know whether he's playing in reality. So I like the Bengals to win this game, Lee. What do you got in this game?
Oh, I haven't really studied it. I just know that Zach Taylor is Brandon Staley. They're interchangeable. They're stat geeks. To use the Chris Russo euphemism, they listen to the 24-year-old intern with the spreadsheet telling them what to do. If these guys would quit going for fourth down all the freaking time and actually settle for points instead of thinking they're at the craps table in Vegas, they might win more games.
Yeah, and I didn't understand, Steve, when Josh McDaniels went for two near the end of the Chiefs game. They didn't make it. Instead of 30-30, they're losing 30-29. They did stop the Chiefs, but then, the Raiders couldn't get it together for a field goal. I didn't understand McDaniel's thinking. I thought that was a poor move.
All right, Iris. So the Sage has said that when Sunday evening rolls around 5 o'clock, and Iris had calorie number 7,000 for the day, that the Buccaneers will hold a 2-game lead in the NFC South with 11 games to play. That is what the Sage is telling us. And, that will be very interesting, Ira, because the bigger the lead that the Bucs can open, the more flexible they'll probably end up being with guys who are hurt and be a little more patient with the team, less urgency. It'll be interesting to see. So this weekend could be pivotal toward all of that. All right, Ira, you want to say goodbye to everybody? You have a message for Lee or for me or for the world? Well, this is your...
Just a final reminder, Steve. I won't be at Big Storm as previously scheduled for the Pittsburgh game, but I will be there for the breakfast for Munich. Maybe we'll have a little red cabbage, a little spetzel. I can't spell it, but I can say it. And I think the Bucks will be 5-2 in a couple of weeks.
All right, Eric, get out of here.